We'd like to dedicate this year to the Refu Shalema of Rabbi Michal Spitzer, Yechiel Michal Ben Rezel, who's having an operation today, and we all are mispalled that he should have a successful operation and he should have a Refu Shalema. The title of today's shir is something that we say in davening, Melech Rachamon Rachem Aleinu, Merciful King, have mercy over us. So I'd like to speak about the two components of this tefillah. One is Malchus, the aspect of Hashem as being a Melech, and the other aspect of Rachamon, of Hashem being merciful. I once heard from Rav Yashber Soloveitchik Zitzal that when he was a young boy, he used to daven in a Chabad shul, and they had a minig. I don't know if this is still a minig today in all Chabad shuls, but they had a minig in his town, which I assume was in Brisk, that Rosh Hashanah at night, it was called the Koronatzion Nacht, the coronation night. And they would take the oldest chassid in the community, in the shul, and they would put on his head a crown. And this was, this is not a minig that is spread all over Klal Yisrael, but the concept was to feel the malchus that were coronating HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the melech on this night. And of course, what comes to mind is the chazal. The Chazal say that on Rosh Hashanah, Imru Lufanei Malchias Kadesha Tamlichuni Aleichem. Say in front of me, Psukim, Tem Psukim, from Tanakh, concerning Hashem being a Melech, in order that I should become the king over you. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter Zitzal, I believe it's he who says, that the stress over here in the Chazal is on the word Aleichem. Hashem is the Melech al Kol Ha'olam. He doesn't need us to coronate him as the king. He is the king. What we need to do, starting Rosh Hashanah, and the Avoda goes through Aseres Meitshuva and through Yom Kippur, is Kishdei Shetamlechuni Aleichem. He has to become the king over ourselves. We have to accept him as the king over us. I was thinking another idea in this word Aleichem, over you, that perhaps the pshat is, the Lashon Aleichem, over you, is that we have to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into every aspect of our entire lives. Somebody here told me a pshat from Samson Rufol Hirsch Zitzal. Chazal say, Shoymer mitzvah lo yeda dover ra. A person who keeps a mitzvah, he won't experience anything bad. So Rav Samson Rufol Hirsch says that it's possible he will experience things that people would consider bad. But the Shoymer Mitzvah, the person who looks at every moment in this world as an opportunity to do a mitzvah, Lo Yeda Dover Ra, he won't look at it, he won't consider it as something bad. He'll consider it as a challenge, as an opportunity to do the Ratzon Hashem. In every matziv of life that a person finds himself in, whatever Hashem sends our way, so Hashem tells us how He wants us to act during that period. So if a person's whole desire in this world is to be a Shomer Mitzvah, Lo Yeda Dover Ra, so he won't look at any occurrence in his life as being something bad. Rather, he'll look at it as an opportunity to be a Shomer Mitzvah. This is when a person brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu not into part of his life, but totally into his life. So the idea is, Kidei Shetamlechuni Aleichem, Hashem should become the king over you, means from head to toe. He should engulf you. You should be totally surrounded with Hashem. There's, just like the Zohar says, Les Asar Panim Minei, that there is no area of the world where Hashem is not found. So too, that's in the Olam HaGadol, in the big world out there. But also in the Olam HaKatan, every human being, every Yid is considered a small miniature world. In our miniature world, we have to make sure, that's our avoda, that less asar panu minei, we have to let Hashem into every aspect of our lives. As the Kotzker Rebbe Zitzal says, Hashem is everywhere where you let him in. You have to let him in. And if you let him in, he's all over. So this is perhaps the idea of Tamlechuni Aleichem. I want, like a person taking a shower and the water goes over their entire body. That's, I have to be over you. I have to totally engulf you from head to toe. And similarly, we have on Yom Kippur, the Gemara tells us, it's a famous song, Omer Rebbe Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael. How praiseworthy are you, Yisrael? Lifnei mi atem mitarim umi mitar eschem. Who is purifying you on Yom Kippur? Avichem shebishmaim, your father in heaven. And the pasuk says, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, that Hashem is to klal Yisrael like a mikveh. Ma ha mikveh mitar es atmeim. Just like a mikveh is mitar those who are unclean. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitar es Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu purifies Klal Yisrael. So again, the idea of a mikveh is where a person's body is totally engulfed by the waters of the mikveh. That's how the tahara of Hashem has to come on a person. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aleichem. He's totally over you. He surrounds you from head to toe. And so we have, after Yom Kippur, the mitzvah of Sukkah. Sukkah is also a mitzvah where we are totally surrounded by the mitzvah of Sukkah. Say mi diras kva, go out of your permanent house and go into the diras aroi, go into the temporary dwelling of a sukkah and let the sukkah totally engulf you and surround you. That is perhaps the idea of kedei shetamlichuni aleichem. And I think with this, we can understand an added idea in a Chazal, which I may have said many years ago, it's worth repeating, which is brought down in the Sefer Avos Chesed from the Chafetz Chaim, Perik Yud Daled, in the name of the Masechta Kala, Perik Tes. The Chazal say there, this Masechta, which is called Masechta Kala, Omru Alav Al Rab Tarfon. The Gemara relates a fascinating story. They said over about Rab Tarfon, Rab Tarfon was Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe. Shehoya Asher Gadol. He was a very wealthy man. V'loy haya noisin matanis lav yoinim. He didn't give money to the poor. So the Chafetz Chaim immediately explains, Chas v'shalom, that we should think that the great tzaddik, a great Tana, Rab Tarfon, he didn't give money to the poor. But what it means is, Shehoy haya noisin karoy lefi ashrei. He didn't give properly according to his wealth. He could have done much better. He gave tzedakah, but not enough. Pam achas matzah Rabbi Akiva. Once Rabbi Akiva met Rab Tarfon. Omar loy, Rabbi Akiva said to Rab Tarfon, Rebbe, ritzoincha she'ekech loch ir achas oishtayim? Would you like that I, apparently Rabbi Akiva is saying that like I'm a real estate agent, I can buy you, you want to use your money to buy one or two cities? I'll be happy to invest the money for you. Omar loy, hang. So Rab Tarfon said, fine. He figured, Rabbi Akiva, if he wants to buy a city, he'll probably do a good investment. Miyad, immediately. And apparently, from the word miyad, immediately, it means that Rab Tarfon didn't have a moment of doubt. You want to buy a city or two, it costs a few dollars. It's not cheap to buy a city. It's not buying a house. Buying a city or two. Miyad, immediately, he knew he could trust Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said he's going to make a very good investment. It's a done deal. Miyad omed Rab Tarfon v'nosan loy arba alofim din rezov. So Rab Tarfon got up and he gave Rabbi Akiva 4,000 golden dinarim. Let's say a few million dollars in our terminology. Nutlan Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva took them. He left Rabbi Tarfon. V'cholkan laniyim. And he gave all the money out to the aniyim. Liyamim, after a few days, matzah Rab Tarfon. So Rab Tarfon found Rabbi Akiva. Omar lei, so Rab Tarfon said to Rabbi Akiva, Heichenu ayorish olakachto li. I would like to look at my investments. Where are the cities that you bought from for me. So the Masechta Kallah goes on and says, Tafsai biyadai. Rabbi Akiva took the hand of Rabbi Tarfon, v'hevi'oi lebeis ha-medrash, and he brought him into the beis ha-medrash. V'hevi sefer Tehillim, and he brought a sefer Tehillim. V'inicha b'fneihem, and he put down there on the shtender, he put down a sefer Tehillim. V'hayu holchin v'koirin, they started Ashrei, the beginning of Tehillim, and they were reading 112 perakim of Tehillim. Achehigiyu l'pasuk zeh, until they came to the pasuk in Perek Kuf Yud Beis, Pizar Nosan Lev Yoinim, Tzidkasoy Emetis La'ad. That a person who gives his money, he spreads his wealth to the poor people, his tzedakah is eternal. Omar Lay, at that point, Pizar Nosan Lev Yoinim, he spread out his money to the poor, Tzidkasoy Emetis La'ad. His tzedakah is eternal. Amar Lei, said Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Tarfon, Zu ha'ir shekhanisi loch. You asked me to see your city, the city that I bought you. This is the city that I purchased for you. So, if that would happen to us, we'd probably take a baseball bat and hit him over the head. Amar Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon got up, v'nashkai, and Rabbi Tarfon kissed Rabbi Akiva. V'amar Lei, and he said to Rabbi Akiva, even though Rabbi Tarfon was Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe, he said to Rabbi Akiva, Rebbe Alufi, my Rebbe, my mentor, Rebbe B'chochma, you're my Rebbe in wisdom, V'alufi B'derech Eretz, and you're my mentor in the ways of the world, how a person is properly supposed to live. V'hoisiv Loimam L'vazbeis, and he said, that was such a good investment, I'm even going to give you more money, I want you to do the same investment. So the Chafetz Chaim Zitzal explains that Chas V'Sholem Rabbi Akiva was not Goynev Das here from Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon said, get me a good investment, and he went and gave it out to the Aniyim. L'chayra, he's over on Gnevis Das. He's like cheating him. That's not what Rabbi Tarfon meant. Rabbi Tarfon meant, buy me cities. How could Rabbi Akiva take it on himself to give it out to the Aniyim? Says Chafetz Chaim, there's no Gnevis Das. Because when Rabbi Tarfon told Rabbi Akiva to invest his money, he obviously wanted Rabbi Akiva to invest it in the best investment possible. So Rabbi Akiva said, you want the best investment possible? Tzedakah is called, when a person does a mitzvah, it's referred to by Chazal, Ir Giboirim. It's a city of the courageous. Malache Elyon Mamlitzim Toiv. It creates angels who are Melech Tov, who speak good about the people who give tzedakah. So when Rabbi Akiva understood that Rabbi Tarfon wants the best investment, so Rabbi Akiva understood that the best investment is an eternal investment. A real estate, as we all unfortunately know, we just went through another September 11th, that a few blocks from here where the World Trade Center came down. And before it came down, people thought these are two buildings that will last for eternity. This is the real estate. But Rabbi Akiva understood differently. Rabbi Akiva understood that these buildings can possibly not last forever. But a mitzvah, that is tzidkasoi oimedes law, that stocka is eternal. And Mimela, you want me to make a good investment? There's no better city that I could have bought for you than for the mitzvahs. And Rabbi Tarfon understood it. He agreed. He kissed them. He gave them even more money to invest. You did the right thing. The question that needs explanation, and which I heard from Hagoyin Rabbi Naftali Friedler, Zechut Tzadik Livracha, the question is, why did Rabbi Akiva have to take the hand of Rabbi Tarfon and schlep him into the base of Medrash and put down a Sefer Tehillim and start reading Sefer Tehillim with Hislavus from Perik Aleph till Perik Kuf Yud Beis? He could have, outside the base of Medrash, told him this pasuk. Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon, by the way, there's a pasuk in Perik Kuf Yud Beis, Pizin Nasan Lev Yainim, Tzidkasya Metis Lot. Why do we need to go through this whole thing? Rabbi Tarfon probably had other important things to take care of. He could have learned during that time. Rabbi Akiva felt he has to do it this way. Why? So Rav Friedler, Zitzal, said, from here we see a tremendous thought. That even a Tana, as great as Rabbi Tarfon, but outside the Beis Medrash, without the Sefer Tehillim, Rav Tarfon could have still, if Rav Akiva would have told it to him, Rav Tarfon could have said, well, okay, that's okay, but, you know, maybe I would have liked the World Trade Center also. Rav Akiva felt that even a Tana as great as Rav Tarfon, in order to totally feel this lesson, that the greatest investment that a person can do is to do Torah mitzvahs and to do gift tzedakah, and that's the eternal city that you can purchase. The only way was to bring him into Beis Medrash and start not just quote the pasuk of Tehillim at that point. No, we first have to really get into the Tehillim and say it with fervor and islavus from Perek Aleph till Perek Kuf Yabes. At that time, in the environment of the Beis Medrash, with saying the Tehillim Bislavus, then it will penetrate to a Tana like Rav Tarfon, that there is no real estate except the eternal real estate of Ir Giboyrim, of doing a mitzvah, of giving out tzedakah. So I think that the point that I would like to bring into the shir is that here we see again that Rav Akiva felt that Rav Tarfon has to be engulfed with Kedusha. If he would have told it to him, if they would have read the Tehillim outside the Beis Medrash, it wouldn't have had the same effect. Just like we have to go into a sukkah and get engulfed with a mitzvah. Just like the tahara on Yom Kippur is in a mikveh, which surrounds HaKadosh Baruch Hu, surrounds Klal Yisrael. Just like on Rosh Hashanah, Shetamlichuni Aleichem, that the malchus of Hashem has to come over a person and engulf him from head to toe. That was the lesson that Kiva was telling Rav Tarfon here also. It's only when you'll be in a Beis Medrash, your body will be totally engulfed with Kedusha. There will be no outside influence from the outside world. Then it'll be able to penetrate into your heart that this is the real purchase, that the real solid investment, eternal investment, to give money to tzedakah. That is the part on Melech, and just one additional thought on Melech. Yesterday I had the schus to hear Abdon Segel Shlita, who's one of the great mashgichim in the world today. He spoke in Muncie, and he pointed out that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when we start after Psukei Dezimra, we begin with the word HaMelech. So in every shul, the minig is that the chazan calls out HaMelech. So what is that? Why are we doing that? So the answer is that all of us on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we feel HaMelech, the king is here. It's an emotional moment because we know we're living in 10 days, which the pasuk says, Dirshu Hashem b'motzoi, search Hashem when you can find him. Kira'uhu, call out to him, b'yosei karev, when he is close to us. We feel during these 10 days that Hashem is close to us. And Segal said that at each generation that gets lower and lower, and Hashem has to come down and get closer and closer and lower, he has to lower himself to us, because we're lower. The gap between Hashem and us is much greater. It doesn't matter. As low as we get, Hashem keeps coming down. We're never out of touch with Hashem. You could be the lowest, and Hashem is Karev. And that's why the din is that a whole year round, a person's only guaranteed that his tefillah will be accepted when he davens b'tzibur, when he davens with a group. But when he davens by himself, he has no guarantee that Hashem will accept it. Maybe he didn't daven with enough kavana. But during the Aseres Mechuva, if a person davens even by himself, he's guaranteed. Hashem is close. By a tzibur, the idea is a whole year round. Hashem nitzav badas keil. Hashem is in the presence of 10 people. Hashem is there. The Shechin is there. So therefore, your tefillah is accepted when you daven b'tzibur in a community, in a congregation. But an individual, not. But during the Aseres Mechuva, Hashem is there close, even for the individual, and that's why our tefillahs are accepted. And that's why he explained that we have many chumras which we do during the Aseres Mechuva, we don't do the rest of the year. For example, a person may eat bread halachically, you're allowed to eat paspalter, which means you're not allowed to eat bread from your neighbor, a goy, but if there's a goyish bakery in town and it has an OU on it, you know that the ingredients are kosher. There's no iser, according to the halacha, from eating that during the rest of the year, as far as getting close socially with a goy, because it's coming from a bakery, not from an individual. However, there are people, of course, that are machmer to eat pasis roll a whole year round. But during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, even a person who's not careful in pasis roll a whole year round and eats from a goyisher bakery, a kosher, where it's a kosher bread, that person is machmer, should be machmer during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva to eat only pasis roll. So everybody asks the question, like, what's going on? We're trying to fool Hashem. Like, if we're not on this level a whole year round, so now, you know, we want to show you we're good boys, and then right after Yom Kippur, we go back to eat the paspalter. What's the idea of this? So Rav Segal explained that the idea is that when you could do whatever you want in your own home, but when the king is here, you're sitting on the table of the king, then you act differently. You're not doing your own thing. When the king is here, out of deference, out of the covet that you're giving to the king, the melech malchi amlachem, Hashem, you're here, I'm not going to bring to the table a bread from a goyisha bakery. Okay, the rest of the year you're further removed, but when you're sitting at my table, you're right here, then I have to act differently. And that's why he explained, there's a Gemara in Masechta Brachos, that a certain child was sick, and Rab Chanina ben Doisa was mispalel for this child, and the child had, didn't have a chance to look up the Gemara, but he took that child into his lap, and he was mispalel, and the child became better. And I believe it was Rab Yoichan ben Zakkai said, I could have done this a whole day, and it wouldn't have worked. So they asked him, but Rab Chanina ben Doisa is your Talmud, you're the Rebbe, you're greater than Rab Chanina ben Doisa. So how could it be? So he said, the answer is, he is like an Eved in front of Hashem. I am like a Tsar in front of Hashem. I'm like a prince in front of Hashem. So in other words, a prince is greater than the servant. But the difference is, the prince comes in only when the king gives him an appointment, even though he's greater. But the servant, he's there all the time. So Rab Chanina ben Doisa, he wasn't as great as Rebbe. However, he's a servant. He's there all the time. If you're near the king all the time, you get favors from the king that a regular person is unable to get. So that's why HaMelech, we scream out HaMelech, that each of us feels on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we feel that Hashem is closer to us than the rest of the year, and we should take advantage of this opportunity. Now, last week we spoke about what can a person do to be zoicha b'din. We spoke about that a person should be, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says, mavral midoysav. We spoke out 10 things from the Reishis Chochma. If a person doesn't stand on what he thinks is the way he should act, but rather he's mavral midoysav, he doesn't go tit for tat. You did something bad to me, but I'm not going to respond in turn. If a person is a mavral midoysav, he's zoicha to 10 unbelievable things. And then Reb Chaim Shmulevitz tells us there's another thing that a person can do to be zoicha in the Yom HaDin, which we all want, of course, to have a schus in the Yom HaDin. And he says, this is the inyan of racham. The shir's title was, Melech Rachamon Rachem Aleinu. So how do we get that Hashem should have rachamim for us? And the answer is, we have to have rachamim for other people. He brings here a pasuk concerning the Ira Nidachas, a city that served Avodah Zarah. So the din is that, you know, they were warned, they didn't listen, they kept on serving Avodah Zarah, so the whole city has to be destroyed. The animal, even the people, the animals, even there's an opinion that says even the ketanim of an Ira Nidachas, everyone has to be destroyed. So the pasuk says, "V'nasan l'cho rachamim v'rachamecha." Hashem will give you mercy, and He will have mercy over you. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains that since Hashem commanded you to destroy out an Ira Nidachas, So the nature is, for example, an executioner, after a while, he has, you know, he just presses the button. He kills the person. He has no feeling for what he's doing at all. So chas v'sham, if a person had the Bezdin told the a certain group of Jews, your job is to kill out the Ir HaNidachas. So he goes and kills out the Ir HaNidachas based on what the Bezdin said has to be done. What happens after such an experience? The normal thing is that he is going to become an achzor. He's going to have the opposite of mercy. So Hashem said, don't worry. I will change your nature. V'nasan l'cha rachamim. I will make you have mercy even though you're occupied. I'll do keneged ateva. I'll do against the nature. By nature you should not have mercy. I'm going to give you mercy. And then you know what happens. V'rachamecha. Then I will have mercy on you. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. She'kol zman she'odem u'begeder tever achzori. K'moy ken yisnag Hashem imoy. If a person doesn't have mercy, Hashem won't have mercy with him. She'ein Hashem merachem elo l'rachman. Hashem only gives mercy to someone who's a rachman. So that's what the pasuk says. You just went through to kill out a whole city. So by nature, you should be an achzor. You shouldn't have mercy. Says Hashem, don't worry. V'nasa l'cha rachmim. I'm going to do something against nature. I'm going to give you mercy. And once you have that mercy back, then I'll be able, v'rachamech, I'll be able to give you rachamim. And on this, Ram Gamliel Berebi said, "Kol amerachim al abrius, merachim alav min hashemayim. V'chol she'ein amerachim al abrius, ein merachim alav min hashemayim. Whoever has mercy on people will get mercy from Hashem. Whoever doesn't have mercy on people won't get mercy from Hashem." So Rav Chaim Shmulevitch says here a tremendous thought. He says, "Look what happened over here. If Hashem wouldn't have gone against nature and give this man mercy, then what would he be by nature? He'd be an achzor. He'd be an executioner. He'd have no feelings. He'd have no mercy. And then he wouldn't be able to get the rachman from Hashem. But you could ask a question, but he's an onus. The Bezdin told him, you have to go and kill out the city. Now that I killed out the city, by nature I become an achzor. And now you tell me you're not going to give me mercy, Hashem. Hashem says, I'm going to give you mercy, and then I'll be able to, I'll make in your hearts mercy, even though you're killers, and then I'll be able to give you mercy. And if you wouldn't have changed my heart to have mercy, then Hashem's saying that I won't be able to give you mercy. So Rav Chaim Shulevitch says, you see from here that this concept is like nature. It's a physical law that Hashem put into the world. The law is, you only get mercy if you are merciful. Let's say you're not merciful because you killed out Ir HaNidachas, because it's an onus, it's beyond your control, you can't do anything about it. You were told to do a mitzvah to destroy the Ir HaNidachas, and now you don't have mercy, so you won't get mercy from Hashem. Hashem had to change the teva, make you merciful, and then he'll be able to give you mercy. And he says, this is what we find, a similar thing. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter explains that we spoke about this chazal last week. It's a Gemara in Masechta Tanis of Chafei Amid Beis. There was once they didn't have rain. Yorad Rabbi Eliezer lefnei ateva v'loy nana. Rabbi Eliezer went down and he prayed for rain. He didn't get an answer. Yorad Rabbi Akiva v'nana. Rabbi Akiva went down. He prayed for rain and started to rain. Yotza Basko v'amra. Basko from heaven came out and said, Loy mipnei shezeh gadol mizeh. It's not because Rabbi Akiva is greater than Rabbi Lazar. Ella shezeh maver al midoisav v'zeh einoy maver al midoisav. This one had the midah that he didn't stand on ceremony. He didn't go tit for tat. He was a maver al midoisav. You hurt me, but I'm still not going to hurt you. And Rabbi Lazar was not a maver al midoisav. So the question is an obvious one. If Rabbi Akiva was a maver al midoisav, and that's why he merited to have rain, so why does the Baskal say, not because Rabbi Akiva was greater than Rabbi Lazar. The fact that he was a maver al midoisav, that itself shows that he was greater than Rabbi Lazar. What does it mean, not because he was greater? So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter answers that Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Akiva were following their rebbeim. Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe came from Talmidei Hillel. And Rabbi Lazar came from Talmidei Shammai. And we know Shammai was very, not, he was a Kabdan. He, he, uh, he felt Torah, a person is a great rabbi in Torah, he has to be respected, and the way to be respected is to be makbid. Don't go easy, because then you'll lose respect. That was his shita. Rav Lazar followed it. Rav Akiva was from Hillel. Hillel was soft, mitamid of Shalar and Oyev Shalom, Roiv Shalom, Oyev Sabir's Makam of Torah. Rav Hillel had a different. He was pliable. That's why when the Ger came, teach me Torah 1 foot, Hisham, I said 1 foot, I'll give you one beam, and he knocked him out. And Hillel told him what Madalach Sani Lachavrach Loisane. Don't do something that you don't want somebody to do to you. And it was Makarv and made him a total gear. So one was flexible and one was rigid. So it comes out, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitch, that that's what we're saying over here. It's not because Rav Akiva was greater than Rav Lazar. Each one was following their school of thought. There's two separate schools of thought. But it doesn't matter. What's the bottom line? The bottom line is that you are a Rachman and you're not a Rachman. If you're not a Rachman, then Hashem's not going to give you rain. You are a Rachman. You are Mavram Midoisav. Whatever the reason is, yes, you're following your rabbi and you're following your rabbi. I don't have any. It's not that we have anything against Rav Lazar. He had to follow his rabbi. That's who he was taught by. But the fact is, bottom line, do you have mercy on other people? No. I don't have mercy, I can't give you rain. Rabbi Akiva does, he gets rain. And finally, he brings down Rebbe. It says, Rebbe suffered unbelievable Yisurim for 13 years. And the Gemara says he started getting these unbelievable pains, unbelievable Yisurim, because of a story that he didn't show mercy. And he stopped getting those pains when he showed mercy. What was the story? What was the story that he didn't have mercy? So Gemara says there was once a calf that was going to Shechita, and it ran over. The calf felt that he's being taken to death, ran over to Rabbi Akiva and hid under his cloak, and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and Rabbi said, "Go, correct, go." Zil lakach neitzarta. Without any mercy, he said, that's what you were created for. Good steak, that's what you were created for yontiv, go, that's what you were created for. Oh, you didn't have mercy? He got 13 years of Yisurim. And then he lost the Yisurim because he did have mercy. What happened? Once his maid was sweeping the house and she found a litter of baby weasels. So everybody would like to get rid of the baby weasels. She started sweeping the baby weasels out of the house. Rebbe said, stop. It says, V'racham of al kol masav, that Hashem has mercy on all his creations. Don't sweep those little baby weasels out. Oh, he had mercy, then the Yisurim stopped. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitch says, who are we talking about here? We're talking about Rabbeinu HaKadosh. There is no other person in the history of Klal Yisrael that got a title of the Holy Rabbeinu, our teacher. And the Rambam in his Hagdamah to Pirush Mishnah says about Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, V'hoya yachid b'doira, he was a exceptional individual in his generation. The echad bizmani, the only one in his time. Ish shenimtsu by kolach amudos v'amidos ha'toivos. He was a man that had in him all good midos. Until he was zochet to Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the title, Ushmo Yehuda. People forget, they don't even know what his name is. We just know him as Rebbe, our teacher, because he's the one who made the Mishnayos. And if he wouldn't have made the Mishnayos, Torah Shabbat Peh, if it wouldn't have been written down at that moment in history, it would have got lost from Klal Yisrael. We wouldn't have Mishnayos, we wouldn't have Gemara, we wouldn't have Halacha, we wouldn't know what to do as a Jewish people. He saved the Jewish people by writing down the Mishnah. V'hoya b'chochma b'ma'ala b'tachlisam. He was the epitome of wisdom. As Chazal say, Mimois Moshe Rabbeinu, Ad Rebbe lo ra'inu Torah g'dula b'makom echad. We never found from Moshe till Rebbe Torah and greatness. He was very rich. And even though he was very rich, he used to have food on his table that you had to import from Australia. He would have it all times of the year. The Gemara says certain vegetables that you couldn't get locally, he would have it. He and the emperor. He was very, but he never, it says when he died, he put his 10 fingers up and he said, I didn't have a gnaw from this world, nothing, none of my fingers had any pleasure from this world. And when he died, they said about him, Mishameis Rebbe Butla Anova Vayiras Chet. Humbleness and fear of sin is lost. And yet, with all these milas, so you would think if he didn't have mercy on that calf, wouldn't all these milas, all these great attributes save him from Yisurim? No. Because the bottom line is, are you a Rachamon? Yes, you get mercy. You save the baby weasels from getting thrown out, you get mercy. You don't have Rachmanis, then you could be Rebbe HaKadosh. You could be the greatest person in your generation. You go into the non-Rachamim mode. Hashem made the world in two ways. It's a physical entity. You're either in the merciful mode or you're in the non-merciful mode. Whatever the reason is. It's not a punishment. It's a mode. You're going in a different track. So if we want that Hashem should have rachamim on us, then we have to show rachamim to other people. And finally, the last thought that I want to leave you with, something that Rav Segal said yesterday, a very interesting story. Rav Leib Chassman was the Rebbe of Rav Shalom Shvadron. Both of them, Zecher Tzadikim Levracha. Rav Shalom Shvadron said over, I think it was the last year of Rav Leib Chassman's life, that he was very sick, and they made a separate minyan for him for Ne'ilah in his house. And they finished the Ne'ilah a little early. There's like a few minutes left till Maariv. So the people, the minyan that was in the house, these people started schmoozing, talking. So Rav Leib Chassman said that by Yona, which we read on Yom Kippur, Yona said when they figured out that it was because of Yona that there was a storm, he said, Sa'uni, pick me up, vihitiluni alayom, and throw me into the ocean. So Rav Leib Chassman asked, why didn't Yona just say, you want to get rid of the storm? Just throw me into the ocean. And these sailors will figure out, how do you throw them in the ocean? You have to pick them up and throw them in the ocean. Why did Yonah have to tell them how to do it? Pick me up and throw me in the ocean. Answered Rav Leib Chassman, that Yonah realized that, according to his thinking, that he's going to die now. He didn't do the nevuah that Hashem wanted to Nimrod. Whatever the reason is, but he told them, don't do it in one swoop. Yafa shah achas shall oilam azeh b'tshuva v'maisim ta'ivim mikol chai oilam abo. As far as doing mitzvahs, a minute in this world is worth more than all the rest of oilam abo, because in oilam abo you cannot do. So he was telling them, do it in two steps. Pick me up, like pause a second, and then throw me in. Give me another, you're going to throw me in. Don't do it in one shot. Give me another 30 seconds of life. Because in those, life is so precious that if you'll do it a little slower, I'll have another moment that I could do tshuva. And I could use this world for the purpose. So Leib Chassman said the same thing Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says that if Yom Kippur would be once in 70 years, a person would wish his child, I hope that you live through a Yom Kippur. You might not live through a Yom Kippur. We're lucky that we have Yom Kippur every single year. Every single year we can get Mechilas Avonos. We get forgiveness for our sins. By the way, Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz says that Rebbe's opinion is that Yom Kippur is Mechaper without tshuva. We paskin, you need Yom Kippur with tshuva. But Rebbe's own opinion is that Yom Kippur itself is Mechaper. So even though Rebbe went through 13 years of Yom Kippurs, during the 13 years of Yisurim, and he has, according to his opinion, Kapara for his sins, but if you're still in the non-Rachamim mode, you get non-Rachamim. That's what Rav Chaim Shmulevitz points out. So we who are fortunate to have Yom Kippur every single year, and if we do tshuva with Yom Kippur, we have Mechilas Avonos, so we should use out every moment of this precious day. That's why, in fact, we eat, one of the reasons, Erev Yom Kippur, is because we're in such simcha that Hashem gave us this great gift that we can in one day through tshuva and the day itself get forgiveness for our sins, so really we should eat on Yom Kippur, but we're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. We should make the biggest suit of the year on Yom Kippur, which we can't do. Therefore, we do it Erev Yom Kippur to show that we are so happy that we're fortunate to live every year and get a Yom Kippur. So we should be zoicha to use that every moment, even if there's a few minutes, we should use it to matar ourselves, to receive mechilas avonos. We should accept Hashem properly over as a melech to engulf us, that there should be no part of our lives that is separated from Hashem. And we should show rachamim to other people, and in that schus, we'll be in the rachamim track, then Hashem, if you're a berachamim, then call him a racham al abriyas, he's zoichid that Hashem is merachim on him. Everybody should have a gemar chasima tova.